due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
You see? They already want to see it. You did not need to involve your little junkies from the Pullet Club. Why? Why did you take the easy way out, AJ?
Hey, this is Terry Taylor, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Plain Pain Clinic for June 11th. Only one holiday today. One of my favorites, National Corn on the Cob Day. To paint up some birthdays today real quick, brother of past ECW, WWE, WCW, and TNA wrestler, Chris Candido, his brother Johnny is 34 today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Join us June 19th for WWE's Money in the Bank pay-per-view at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 Eastwood Road. Starts at 8 p.m. Come join us for all the fun and frivolity. We'll have a blast, I promise you that. That is June 19th. So WWE's Money in the Bank at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. Something funny going on in the studio? Hey, let me get the plugs out of the way, and then we'll introduce the cast and crew of the show. Interested in roller derby? Fancy yourself a skater? Job of being an official more up your alley? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact them at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. Become one of us, the few proud Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show today. I am the cash man, Richie Rich. I am joined by Brian Burke.
Good morning, Rich.
Hey, thank you. We've got DC Dan Cole. Looks like he's a little tied up doing
Brother
something.
Brother Nero.
Brother
Good
Nero.
To see you.
All right, Brother Nero. And, of course, Danger Boy.
Damn it, you took my opening.
Danger Boy.
I knew you'd do that.
Limpy there, and he's, of course, brought by the chauffeur today. Hey, chauffeur. I know. Whatever. So welcome to the show, and welcome to the Pain Clinic for June 11th. You know, are we going to get summer one of these days? I'm just waiting for it to warm up.
It's going to be 85 today.
It's going to be 85 today?
Yeah.
Most excellent, though. It's very cool.
It's going to be stormy, but it's going to be 85.
Got a lot of stuff to talk about. It was very crazy week of the world in the world of professional wrestling, but you can chime in on it if you want, 222-1280. That's our number here. You can text us at that number. We will read your text if you're too shy to come on the air with us. You know,
we're ready to believe you.
If you're listening on iHeartMedia, and you're like, say, I don't know, in a car trip or something, and you want to send us some messages, you can text us at that number.
Not while you're driving, especially if you just listen to the SoFi Collision Show.
Yeah, definitely not. Patrick O'Flynn, Sheriff
as long
Patrick.
As you're out of New York, it's legal.
Sheriff Patrick O'Flynn was in there, and I got a get out of jail free card from him. So thank you.
A selfie with the sheriff is not a get out of jail free card.
Okay, you're right. I told him that too when I took the picture. I said, you know, I will do it.
And now you're on a list.
Now I'm on the list.
Yeah, you're on a list.
So welcome to the show. You can text us. But let's talk about some of the things that have happened this week. And one thing in huge, and I definitely want to hear people give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280, about the news we found out last Saturday watching UFC 199. Bill Goldberg, not Bill Goldberg.
Oh, my Lord.
No. Brock Lesnar is back in UFC for UFC 200, which is less than a month away, or like about a month away. Big news with a month to go. They, you know, it's something that obviously they've been holding out in a while because you just don't train for a month for a fight. You know, I mean, this is like, you know, our training camp is like anywhere between 6 and 8 weeks. So he's obviously been training for this fight for a while. But what do you guys think about that? Was that mind blowing? I mean, besides the fact that we heard
leaked information earlier in the day from Ariel Helwani from MMAHour.com. He had actually exposed it before the pay-per-view ever started.
And that was a whole other interesting story.
And then got
story.
Banned for life.
Then,
and
then got reinstated, yes.
Yeah, but what do you think? I mean, is this good, bad for... I mean, obviously, Lesnar wanted to be on the big show.
Well, it depends. I mean, if Lesnar wins, it's great for WWE if he's still there, but what's going to happen if he loses? He's not this indestructible force anymore?
He is, I will say, he is fighting a guy who has knockout power.
Very, very much so. Mark Hunt has knocked out, I mean, he knocked out Roy Nelson, and no one knocks out Roy Nelson. Roy Nelson's like Homer Simpson with that hard head. But regardless, it's going to be good for WWE because not only do they get the publicity of Brock actually being in the spotlight again with the mainstream media, they're also going to get something out of this. They're getting promotion at UFC 202 for SummerSlam. They might be getting Paige Van Zandt, and they might be getting Ronda Rousey for WrestleMania.
And the best part is, all that publicity they're going to get at UFC 202 for SummerSlam is the same night that CM Punk is scheduled to make his Octagon debut, which is going to be outstanding. But yeah, I mean, you hit the number one thing, though. All this news about, oh, Brock Lesnar's going to UFC, and we haven't officially heard yet, really. What is WWE getting out of this?
You don't do something for nothing.
Exactly.
Especially if you're Vince McMahon.
Oh, no. Vince doesn't do that ever. So that'll be the big question. And you know they've wanted Ronda Rousey for a while.
Yeah.
But they would hold off on something like that until next year's WrestleMania. But, I mean, I want to know. We know what UFC is getting out of this. What is WWE truly getting out of this?
Well, we'll find out when they start promoting for SummerSlam if they got Paige Van Zandt. Her managers acknowledge the fact they've talked to WWE. They'd be capitalizing on her being, I think she finished second at Dancing with the Stars this past time around.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens. I don't think that would be the end of it, though. I don't think Paige Van Zandt is that big of a name for it to be the end of it for Brock Lesnar fighting.
Yeah, but she's cute, man.
Well, but your average WWE fan has no idea who she is.
Well, your average WWE fan also thought that Brock Lesnar was going to fight CM Punk at UFC 200. Yeah. I saw tons of people saying that. It's like, dude, what are you don't even know what you're talking about. CM Punk's going to fight at like 175 or something.
Yeah, he had definitely different weight classes. This is not UFC 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, when they used to have, like, you know, the 200-pound guy versus the 600-pound guy.
It's not the WWE where you have that.
Yeah, true that. But I think Brock Lesnar, what it is, you know, and I kind of fear for Brock Lesnar because it's Mark Hunt in his last fight. Knocked a dude out in the first round. I mean, it's like that's his specialty.
I'll give Lesnar credit. He's not going in there against like a jelly roll. He's fighting somebody who's actually can fight.
Yeah, that's actually surprising. It really is surprising.
Well, I mean, every fight he ever had was a legitimate guy who could fight. He's never given a tomato can.
No, that second guy. Who was the second guy? The first one he beat. Because
beat Frank Mir. His first win was against Frank Mir. His first loss was against Frank Mir too.
His first fight he lost to Mir, but beat him up. And then his second fight he won.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't against Mir though.
Oh, he did beat Mir.
It was against some other guy.
Okay, so he did have a tomato can. But this guy, you know, I mean, he's going. And the thing is every UFC pay-per-view Brock Lesnar's ever been on has drawn a million buys. That is a very big number for UFC, and they haven't seen that since he left,
except for McGregor's fight
and McGregor. And so, and we, you know, and they, I mean, this fight for even on the prelims, this the prelim is like a main event. You look at the five fights on the prelims. This is going to be they're putting everything into this.
Heath Herring.
Yes, Heath Herring.
Who his second fight was.
And Heath Herring. And Heath Herring, I mean, he fought for, you know, a few years. I don't even think it was in UFC. Wasn't his first fight? Heath Herring was UFC, but there were some fights he had that weren't.
He did have one fight, K-1, against Min Soo Kim.
Okay, yeah, and then
he went right into UFC.
Yeah, and because he's a name, and he's, you know, so I give him all the luck in the world.
IWGP champion at the same time.
Does it hurt him in WWE when he gets knocked out in the first round?
Yeah.
The thing is I think he's kind of lost his luster a little bit, honestly, in UFC and WWE since he's been there because of the long layoffs between matches and stuff.
Well, and not only that, too, one of the great articles I read about this is, you know, in our society, when we want to take athletes at their word, where they are going to do something or they're not going to do something, how long ago was it that Brock Lesnar gave that big interview on ESPN saying he's officially done with UFC, he's never going back,
yeah.
And now...
And then you hear the first thing he says was, "I've always wanted to come back. I just want," you know, he did. He goes, I just was never healthy that last two fights I had. He goes, now I'm healthy. I want to come back.
He's not incorrect on that. You could tell in the Alistair Overeem fight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He
well,
was
he,
not right.
Yeah. He got kicked in the guts, and that's how he lost. And that's where he had the 18 inches of intestines taken out. So
it doesn't help Overeem tested positive a month later or anything.
Look at Brock now. Do you think Brock might test positive for something before the fight? He's in the greatest shape he's been in, I think, since I've seen him in the WWE now. So
Brock, they gave him a pass on the 3 months of drug testing before the fights from UFC because of the fact that he's only got a month until the fight. But he is still involved in the WWE testing program, so he does have to be tested randomly.
I just got a text from someone who said CM Punk's going to interfere in Brock Lobster's fight. He doesn't understand how MMA works. All right, we got on the phones with us Rashawn from Virginia. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Y'all didn't like my short session last week?
It was fine. No, you were it was perfect.
Okay. But first and foremost, Mark's not there, so I'm putting him on grape duty.
Oh, you know what, Mark? We're calling Mark in the next segment because, Mark, remember we talked last week about Bill Goldberg and Mark had his certain opinions about him? Well, Mark, hung out with Bill Goldberg last Sunday night, so I definitely want to talk to him about that.
He's not battered and bruised. So.
I know, he seriously hung out with him, and it's like, what were the odds that was going to happen? You know, we had no clue. So it's like,
wow.
That's what I say.
He's on grape duty. He's on grape duty. I want my grapes.
Okay.
They need to be peeled and red seedless. Oh, knows.
Okay, Mark, you know that.
But more importantly, I actually have something I'm actually still watching SmackDown, but I was catching up on Raw, and I'm actually, for once, I will actually give some writers some credit. The build for the Cena-AJ match has actually been really good. They've broken the fourth wall or kind of into it a little bit very well for the smart wrestling fans, and I'm actually impressed with that. I haven't seen that kind of writing with the WWE writing team in forever, and I mean, it's actually engaging for once.
Well, listen, you're a fan of AJ, so I mean, anything that they write for him that makes him puts him in good light, I think, you know, because you know what, they don't always write the best for everybody going up against John Cena, but I thought that. The only thing is, the only problem I had with that whole segment you're talking about is that people, you'll never hear him say TNA, but that's what they're talking about. AJ was the main figure of TNA for all that time, you know. And
absolutely. Yeah. And I agree with that. But it's that sense of realism that has really been lacking. I mean, you know, back in the 80s, early 90s, you had all the cartoon characters. Then came along the Attitude Era, and you had a lot more realism to it. Then the PG era came back, and it started getting a little bit more cartoony or outlandish, and we won't even bring up Katie Vick. But
that was even past that time too. That was just a.
but I'm just saying it's going back to that realism. It's showing, like, you know, for years and years and years they went back on the writing and they just said, you know, they basically in many ways insulted the intelligence of wrestling fans. And I mean, yes, you want your company to, you know, on paper and in the hearts and minds, you want to be the best company that's out there. We get it, WWE. You know, you own the money market on it, but, you know, sometimes you don't have the best product. But, you know, at the same time, you got to acknowledge the fact that there are other products out there for the wrestling fan to enjoy. And the fact that they're bringing that to the table, I actually got to give them credit for it. Even though they won't mention them by name, you know, they won't even really say New Japan. They'll just say Japan.
Yeah.
You know, so,
well,
and I mean, they even kind of danced around mentioning Ring of Honor too, but you know, like I said, I actually enjoyed that more just because it had that little bit more of realism that has significantly been lacking from the product for a while.
Hold on, go ahead, Danger Boy.
The major problem I had with it was when AJ addressed John Cena, he pretty much said the same thing as John Cena said in his promo that everyone has said that's faced John Cena. That's like, it's the same stuff Kevin Owens said. It's the same stuff Seth Rollins said. It's, I'm better than you. You know it. But, and then John Cena's like, you're saying the same stuff. And it's the same promos.
It is. Now the problem I have, go ahead.
I like the line about, you know, Cena burying people. And that, I really like that because, you know, it's well known that he's a backstage politician. It's well known.
Who did he bury? Who did he bury in the last year? Who did he bury in the last year? He didn't bury anybody.
Thank you.
He didn't bury anybody in the last year, but like, I'm talking about over the course of his tenure in WWE. He's buried several people.
Someone had to elevate him to get to where he is, and he knows that it's his job to do that to keep the company going.
He's not Triple H when it comes to
that. Yeah, believe me, he has a lot of power. He has a lot of power, but he does not have – I mean, he can't nick someone's career, you know? I mean, yes, he's derailed a few people and said, you know, percent like there's a couple guys.
Kenny Dykstra?
I'm not going to say specific names, but, yeah, there's a couple guys he's kind of
not – Wade Barrett in the Nexus?
Maybe Wade Barrett in the Nexus, yeah. No, I'm thinking of –
they ran into the Cena machine, and that was over.
Who was the dude from the Nexus that was with The Miz that is now released
Alex
now?
Riley?
Alex Riley. I think he's one of the guys that got derailed by Cena. But, yeah, there's a couple of names, but, you know, best for business kind of deal, you know? I mean, but his last few years has been nothing but promoting other people. So, you know, even when they give him a belt, he's promoting other people, so –
yeah, so I mean, like I said, it gives a little bit of hope that we're not going to get the same the continued stale product, that they might actually be, you know, maybe, you know, listening a little bit, or at least hearing the fans, I guess is a better way to term it. When I see that in writing, that's how I look at it. You know, it gives me a little bit of a glimmer of hope that I'm basically not going to see the same show over and over and over and over again with, you know, basically the same writing everything. You know, maybe they hired some actual wrestling guys instead of Hollywood guys now. I don't know. I don't keep up on that.
Yeah.
But like I said, it gave me a little bit of hope that, you know, because it brings back a little bit of realism. It makes it, you know, it's not cartoony. It's, you know, it might be a PG product, or you know, but it's not going to, it is still engaging for the adult fan that did grow up throughout the 80s and the Attitude Era and whatnot. So I thoroughly enjoy that. And I like this. I would actually like to see it continue a little bit further. But who knows? With the brand extension, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, they're calling NXT a full-fledged brand now. So what are they going to do for developmental? I mean, that really wasn't answered. So
yeah, it's going to get picked apart. But Rashawn, thanks for calling, man. We look forward to your call every week. Okay, bro.
Hey, no problem. Y'all take care.
You too, man. All right, 222-1280, star 1280. If you want to call, you can text us to that number too. Brought up some good points. I wanted to talk a little bit about AJ versus John Cena. You know, I mean, you know, without saying TNA, they can go roundabout all they want, saying how big a name AJ Styles is, but the real wrestling diehard marks know where he came from. And New Japan was only the last, like, year or two. You know, it was not his whole career. He was
talking about his WCW run.
Yeah, his WCW run with Air Paris, right?
Yes.
All right, so we got to go to break right now. I want to talk a little bit on the flip side about our friend Luke Harper. And he's got some news about him, as well as your calls, 222-1280, star 1280. We got to go to break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. And you could be next.
Half of you guys got my back. Half of you guys don't want me back. You can boo all you want. It's still going to happen. And when I am champion, I will take on all comers. None of you guys, of course, but anyone else. I don't care if it's the Nation of Domination, Waylon Mercy, Jean-Pierre Lafitte, the Four Horsemen, or anybody else I watch on the WWE Network. There's your plug. I will beat them all.
I have been all over the world. Desperate is for someone who can't go anywhere else. It doesn't matter where I go, because they would welcome me back with open arms. Whether it be Osaka, Japan, Tokyo, I would sell them out in a second. That's what I do when I step into the ring.
Look what we got over here. A cup of haters. A cup of haters.
Well, listen up, you jank. Every time I step in that ring, I risk it all.
And as you prefaced, I ain't exactly working with a full deck, pal.
Hey, this is Roderick Strong, and you are listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. You know who Roderick Strong is, anybody?
You will shortly.
Yeah, he's going to be in WWE real soon, but he's a Ring of Honor guy who's been TNA, Ring of Honor. He's done a lot of work. I love Rod. He's a master of the
Backbreaker.
The Backbreaker. He also does a couple other things he does.
He's awesome.
He's an excellent wrestler. He's great shape, and you'll see him soon in WWE. We met him in Ring of Honor. A lot of fun. But welcome back to the show. Once you know, we're going to be out at Salvatore's 1 week from tomorrow for WWE's Money in the Bank pay-per-view. There's a lot of stipulations floating on this, and I'm banking on Kevin Owens winning the Money in the Bank. But, you know, that we can discuss that another time, I'm sure.
But, anyone but Del Rio.
Anyone but Del Rio.
Or Jericho.
Fair enough.
And Jericho probably is taking another hiatus soon, so I wouldn't suspect it. You know, I think it's funny when they poke fun at him about never winning one. But so we're going to be there. It's a week from tomorrow. There's no cover charge for you for WWE's. That's June 19th, WWE's Money in the Bank. And we're going to be UFC 200. Now I cannot wait for this. This is July 9th. That's at the garage door. It starts at 10 p.m. Light heavyweight champion and Rochester's own John Jones and Daniel Cormier are battling for the title. They both, John Jones is the interim, and Cormier, I guess, is the interim. I don't know. He's
technically the legit champion, even though he never actually beat anybody to win the title.
Yeah, he never beat anybody. Oh, yes, he did. He beat Johnson, Rumble Johnson.
He didn't beat the actual champion.
No, he did not beat the actual champion, but he did win the title when Jones got suspended. Also, we're going to see women's bantamweight champ Miesha Tate. Ooh, Miesha Tate. She's going to defend her title. She's and of course,
you just hit yourself on another list.
So the Brock Lesnar is going to be returning, fighting Mark Hunt. That's going to be hosted by us, July 9th at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 200.
You forgot Jose Aldo.
Yes, there's a lot of guys fighting on it. You know,
there's three title fights and Brock Lesnar on the main card.
The undercard could be a main card,
without a doubt.
What time are we getting out there on Saturday?
I'm going to be there for the prelims, so let's start at 6, I think. So we got on the lines, Paulie from Parts Unknown. What's up, buddy? Hello. Oops, I got to punch the button. Maybe. Okay. Hello. What's up, buddy?
This is Baldy.
Oh, I was going to say, I was going to mention you a minute ago that WWE has, you know, they don't listen until you come on the show. So.
I know. Well, it's good they can turn the radio, but actually, I want to talk a little UFC at first. I mean, what a coup getting Lesnar. It took a card that was actually starting to look not too impressive and just flipped it on its head, and it's a must-see now. And it's weird that, you know, it took the UFC 200 pay-per-views to finally put together a Super Bowl or a WrestleMania. Why don't they have an annual event that is like this? It really boggles the mind.
Everybody. Well, they do. It's always around this time of the year in Vegas. And it doesn't, you know, they don't, it might have been UFC 185 last year or something.
Yeah,
but
I mean, they need that. Their marketing and promotion is really lacking. They need to put together a package of Super Bowl. Something that you know, you just had to, oh, okay, maybe 185. This is the Super Bowl this year, or this is. And I know it's tough because they have a lot of people falling out, but when you pack a card like they did for 200 with basically five main events, you know, you could afford a couple people dropping out. You know, that's my piece on that. And it's good that we don't have the mark there, so I could actually talk.
Wait one second, Baldy. I gotta say one thing. They always want idealistically to have these great cards, and then injuries always play a part.
Sure. No, I understand that.
Yeah, and that's the world of MMA because it's real. You know, pro wrestling, not.
People get injured in football, and there's injuries here and there. But it doesn't excuse the fact that they don't have a WrestleMania. It does not make sense to me. Every other sporting event has a marquee event. You know, and I understand it's not seasonal, but still, you know, they would, if they packed a card, called it a WrestleMania, they would have a special event every year that people would look forward to. And then now moving on to Ring of Honor, this Roderick Strong guy, I think they're just taking him because he's Mr. ROH, because he's not going to fit in. And not only is he, you know, too diminutive of a wrestler to really fit in, and he doesn't really pack the maneuverability, the high-flying action that other guys his size do. He's more of a mat wrestler. And plus, I've heard tons of stuff about his backstage.
He's got a rep. That's true. Yeah. But, you know, he's also, like, best friends with, I think, Austin Aries. There's a bunch of guys from Ring of Honor.
Well, Austin Aries, he's great.
He's going to be their new Dean Malenko.
Yeah, he's going to be the new Dean Malenko. He's going to come out and he's going to put everybody over. But he is actually a very solid wrestler. We've had him on the show before. He's a second generation.
Aries, who's his parents?
I can't remember his father's name, but he was a guy who wrestled in Texas before, and maybe he never was quite on the grand stage. But he is a second generation wrestler.
Yeah, and they could put the title on him. I could see the title on him, and I know he's another smaller guy, but the way he moves and just his in ring ability is top notch. I saw him live, and really, Jay Lethal is probably the only guy that held a candle to him that I've seen live. Jeez, now I got a brain fart here. Quick question. You ever think about having Kevin Kelly on? I know you don't do too much Ring of Honor stuff, but his wrestling IQ, I'm sure you had on before, but his wrestling IQ is off the charts. I mean, it doesn't compare to Baldy's 145, but I mean, this guy is, whew.
Yeah, no, Kevin Kelly, I met him briefly, in, we'll say the year, the decade was the 90s, okay?
Yeah.
When we first started doing the show, we went down to a show in, Allentown, and he was with the WWE at the time. And he was a real nice guy, but he was like their liaison, so he kind of like was treating us kind of, you know, like we were garbage,
I'll tell you what, I've heard him since, and it's unfortunate, but I've heard him since, and he does not shy away from talking about any wrestling group, he doesn't just stick to Ring of Honor, he loves to talk wrestling, and I bet you if you gave him a shout, he'd love to talk to you guys.
I wouldn't mind talking to him whatsoever. In fact, you remind me now, next week we're going to have the HTM on the show, if you know who the Honky Tonk Man is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, never a man shy from controversy. He'll be joining us live on the show next week.
Okay.
But he's from that era, too. But, yeah, I would love to have Kevin Kelly. I never had a problem except for the fact that he was working through the office, and so he was, didn't trust any media, and we were media at the time.
Sure,
so.
You got to understand, they got those guys handcuffed. I mean, the way that WWE controls their people, it's out of control. You got a hometown kid that could be talking every week and promoting himself, promoting the business, but they want to handcuff everybody because everything's so PC.
Well, and also they don't want to spoil his character, I understand that his character was not a talker,
he's a little busy right now too.
And the problem is that they really don't even know how to handle half their characters. Bray Wyatt, he should. I said this over a year ago. They should give him the Roddy Piper treatment. When I say that, I mean he should barely ever be in the ring. He should just be talking, having his boys do the fighting for him. So there's really no reason he should have been out all this time. I mean, his mouth isn't broken. His mouth is fine. Even if they brought him out in a wheelchair, that would actually add a little bit of extra layer to the character. Having him in a wheelchair, that evil guy in the wheelchair where you think he's helpless, but by a click of a finger, he can send two beasts to wrangle your neck. So.
Interesting. I mean, it's not.
Let's just make it a motorized scooter while we're at it.
Yeah, but much like a Dr. Evil kind of character.
Anything, because his mouth isn't broken, and that's the moneymaker for him. His in-ring ability, he's definitely a natural, but it's not. I think it takes away some of his some of the luster of Bray when you see him in the ring wrestling. Taking a bump or whatever. Really, the guy should never hit the ground. He should. Rarely hit the ring, and if he does, it should be for a main event.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about how many times you've seen him wrestle in the past year. It hasn't really been that much.
They calmed it down a little bit since I kind of tried to straighten him out and let him know what they got there. They got a Roddy Piper. They don't have Chris Benoit. You don't need to see him in the ring to get him over. He doesn't need to ever step in the ring, and he's over. He's as soon as the music hits, he's over.
Yeah. You make grand points on that, but we gotta get running on. I appreciate the call, Baldy. I agree, and you're gonna see that dude show up probably. I'm guessing in the next pay per view. So 2-2-2.
Mr. Wyatt.
Yeah, Mr. Wyatt.
I'm guessing maybe Monday.
2-2-2-1280. Dude, I got a text here. I miss you. Oh, you remember Apex Predator? Sent us a text saying, I miss you guys. I'm female Brian. I will just continue to show up Saturday morning. So she's on the road for roller derby in Ohio. They're going to Columbus today. So you enjoy the show. Keep texting us, 222-1280, star 1280. I wanted to bring up Luke Harper. We mentioned it briefly there for a second. I was almost going to hang up at that point and go into talking about Luke. Luke's making, because he's rehabbing an injury that we've talked about forever, he's making a movie now. He's making a movie called Mohawk, and it's really interesting. Is we just got the news that he's making the movie, and now it's actually being done as we're speaking. And I have a friend of mine who actually is on the crew. A friend of mine who I do this TV show. It's called Derby After Dark, or I've done it. It's on at 1:30 in the morning on CW16, and the executive producer is a guy named Clay O'Dell. Well, Clay's out working on this movie right now. That's what he does for his bread and butter. He makes movies, does TV shows. He's like a producer, very, very smart, intelligent camera guy. And he's out, and he just posted something out of the blue saying he's out in the woods doing a movie yesterday. And then someone said, what one is it? And he wrote Mohawk. And I was like, what? And so when Luke Harper's on. So it's like, what do you guys think? I mean, is that pretty cool that Mr. Luke Harper, though injured, rehabbing, is making a movie right now? I mean, and I don't know really anything much more about the movie except for it's about Says it follows a young female who finds herself in a cat and mouse chase after one of her tribes sets an American soldier camp on fire. So it must be like an era piece or something.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be like a Native American type deal. Well, the name Mohawk gives that away too, but it's awesome he's doing it. It's not even a WWE Films flick. It's something he's doing on his own. It's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, so it might actually be a decently written movie?
Oh, the WWE movies aren't too bad, you know? I mean,
there's got to be a reason they're making a Marine 17.
You know, I the first ones of all of them are pretty good. You know, I mean, I like The Condemned. I liked, I liked
12 Rounds.
12 Rounds, the first one was pretty good, you know. Incredible action sequence in the end of that movie. You know, I mean, it's popcorn movie stuff, you know, so.
One of the Mark's favorite movies is Knucklehead, so.
Oh, yeah, with the big show. You guys talk for a second. I'm going to get him on the phone.
Oh. He's not joking either. He is
picking up the phone and calling right now.
It is good to see him doing something while we're waiting for him to come back because, I mean, based on everything we've heard, WWE really was never kind of outright and forthcoming with what his injury was.
Oh, absolutely.
He did that interview in that video, so you kind of got an idea as to his time frame, and we're kind of looking, I mean, optimistically August, but realistically probably September for Luke to come back.
With the synopsis we just saw, I'd be kind of interested to see what kind of character he's going to be, because I can't see him cast as a soldier. There's no way.
It's supposed to be like a horror film, so.
So maybe he's going to be one of those, it said what, in the cat and mouse chase, so through the woods or something like that. I could see that kind of character.
I don't know. I could see him being a soldier. Got the beard for it.
That's true. Period
piece.
For
that time, yeah. If it's a period piece, he's good to go.
With the hair, though, would they?
Just slick it back.
Slick it back, put one of those powdered wigs on.
I tried. I got his voicemail.
Oh, what a surprise.
Imagine that.
We know he's not listening, so he didn't screen you ahead.
No, that's true. He may have.
As part of his not watching WWE, he also refuses to listen to any show that talks about it.
Oh, well, so what does he come here and plug his fingers in his ears when he's up here? Something like that. So, well, we did delve a little bit why I wanted to talk about him. Maybe we'll give him a chance till the end of the show.
He's not going to call.
Okay, we'll see.
It's like Ace Ventura. Ray ain't coming home.
We talked about something last week in the show, and then he had an experience with the guy we were talking about. So I definitely wanted to get him on. But, we'll see. I want to promote tonight's Slammiversary or tomorrow night's Slammiversary TNA if you're their only pay-per-view this year. With Brother Nero, and
that's so good.
It's actually a really great lineup for the show. Drew Galloway's their champ. He's taking on Lashley. I've been enjoying that build up because there's been a lot of heat. You're getting a lot of heat out of the crowd for that. So, and then EC3 versus Mike Bennett with Maria. If you ever seen Mike Bennett, I really like what he's doing. He's doing a lot of fun stuff on. I know we don't get to watch it here, but there's ways to see it. You know, if you could tell,
EC3
I'm winking.
Is actually, like their breakout character. He's actually come a long way since the beginning. I love what EC3 has been doing.
Yeah, and he's still kind of. If you're not watching it and you're listening to him, he still has that arrogant kind of talking way. But you know, beyond that, then we got Jeff and Matt Hardy in a Full Metal Mayhem match, which. Of course, we could talk ad infinitum for about the whole build up for this with
Brother Nero.
Yeah, so it was. It's going to be.
Please, everybody, go watch the Keyboard Matt video.
Keyboard Matt video,
please.
And then, of course, TNA Tag Champion the Decay versus the Bromans, TNA Knockout Championship Jade and Sienna, and then we got Eli Drake versus Bram. Every title they have is on the line. That's the King of the Mountain and X Division, Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett versus DJZ and Eddie Edwards. And then, this Grado character, I love this dude, man. He doesn't look like a wrestler, but man, the dude does everything in the ring. And he's got the really thick Irish accent. So sometimes I can't even understand what he's saying, you know, but
he's a big goof.
Mahabal Ashira, that he's like tagging with him against two of the guys that Al Snow brought in who were former NXT guys. What was the tag team that was released from NXT? I can't remember.
Marcus Louis and
It was the French guys.
Yeah,
so, yeah, yeah.
I forgot the other one's name off the top of my head.
They're called Baron Dax now and Basile Baraka. They're like they remind me kind of a little bit of the Letterman Club from the WCW. I mean, they're like, you know, they come out and they're arrogant and you know they're the better because they're not from our country and stuff, you know. And it was it sounds like a great pay-per-view setup. But the big thing about the TNA this past week is Pepper Parks debuted. You know, I don't know, no one saw, but he's now called Braxton Sutter. He had his debut match on this past week. He's from this area, man. He's like, I remember, you know, he's from the Buffalo area.
Be careful with that comic, and we'll get complaints again. No one in this area was able to see it.
No one in this area was able to see it, but you can, there's what, you know what? If you're in Dansville, you can watch it on their cable system, okay?
But those of you in Buffalo, we are talking TNA, so please.
Yeah, yeah, but there's a, and he's was all over WWE enhancement stuff. He, every time they'd come to town, they would use Pepper Parks. Great athlete, you know, just incredible wrestler. Danger, you've known Pepper for a while, right?
Yeah, he's wrestled for a long time. I mean, we used to go to shows in Buffalo, and we'd see him, you know, waiting outside, or we'd see him afterwards hanging out at the bar. You know, he was used backstage, and you know, it's great to see him actually have a you know, national debut now on TNA and get a character and get a little bit of a push coming up.
He actually was interviewed by JB after his debut match, so that was pretty cool, you know. And he was talking to the fans, and he's married to Cherry Bomb, I think that's his wife.
Yes.
And she's wrestling down there now too, so you know, kudos to the local guys, man, that's for sure. So we got to take a break. I realize it just went way over in the time trying to get Mark on the phone. Come on, Mark, give us a call. 222-1280 star 1280.
He's seeping.
I know he played out last night, but I want to talk
early.
We're going to talk about what we're talking about. If he doesn't call by the next segment, we'll just talk about it anyways, because you know that's why we do things around here, you know. So you are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Yes, The Rock and AJ Styles have very different career paths, but that does not change the energy that we had. And that is because for a lot of you, you guys thought this was a moment that never would happen. For 15 years, anybody who knew anything about sports entertainment, the best they could do was say, well, what if? What if?
I want you all to remember who created the Money in the Bank match. That was me. This is my match. I'm the expert in this match. You understand?
Yeah. Hey, Chris. Since it's your match, how come you never won a Money in the Bank match?
I've won one.
Wait, no. You've never won one.
Yeah, I did.
You never won one. Which one?
First one.
The first one?
Sixth one.
1280 Rochester.
I said what everyone needed to hear and what most were thinking. For the past decade, it's been the John Cena era. It's time for a change, that's right. And the new era of the WWE cannot get started until I take out John Cena.
But coach, I've always wondered, how do you save so much money?
This is my only pair of clothes.
Life coach, you got multiples, right, Mr. Backlund?
You gotta want it!
Okay, I'll cut way down on the shopping, coach.
What do you think about a bow tie?
This is the Stinger, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. It's showtime, folks!
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. As I bash my head into the microphone. Hey, welcome. It's a Saturday morning. I like the, do you think Darren Young would look good in a bow tie?
Oh, I hope he comes out in it.
He's going to have to.
I mean, hope he goes on a winning streak. I draft him in the third round of the fantasy.
I kind of dig the Bob Backlund stuff, because you hear Bob last week. It's like, he goes, how do you save money? He goes, this is the only clothes I wear.
You know? And again, start walking.
And then Darren Young says, you have multiple versions of that, right? And then Bob Backlund starts screaming. So it's like, there's those bits are, you know, first were very, you know, kind of dry, and now they're becoming kind of tongue-in-cheek funny. So I enjoy that a lot. I'm a Bob Backlund fan anyway, so you know, I mean, he was the guy when I was a kid. He was the guy, you know. It was him. And speaking of being a kid, we got Scott from Henrietta on with us. How's it going, Scott?
I'm a kid.
I don't know. I'm just looking for segues, okay, bro?
Okay.
Give me a break.
All right, but I will admit I do enjoy the Bob Backlund stuff. It's kind of fun. It's fun. It's fun to remember when he was, you know, the crazy Bob Backlund running for president and. Nobody really gave him a damn. Nobody really cared. And I think he play one of the Home Improvement brats at WrestleMania in chess and got whooped.
Yes. And you know the funny thing is every time they would come to town to do a show, he would come with him, and he would have a little stand out in the Blue Cross Arena's the front area, and he would take pictures and sign things and charge people, and then he would wander around during the show coming in up and out of the aisles, and I was like, is that Bob Backlund standing over my shoulder watching the matches? It's like, yeah. And I mean, he would come to every show in Rochester.
The WWE endorsed version of Virgil, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. Believe it, Bob had people at his line. Okay, okay, I'm saying that. But yeah, no, I kind of dig it. So, what else is going on with you, brother?
Well, actually, I was going to call in to prove a point. Since Mark can't call in to discuss what you guys wanted to discuss, I would fill in for him.
Do you have any idea what we're talking about?
No, but this could be fun.
Okay, well, briefly, we'll just throw this out here. Okay, I'll do this, and I'll let you get to your point after that. But hold on. Last week, we were talking about Bill Goldberg coming back to WWE, you know, coming back to the video game. And Mark had his opinions on Bill Goldberg and spewed them on the show. And then who does he hang out with Sunday night but Bill Goldberg in Buffalo, the big Jim Kelly golf tournament thing. And he's there taking selfies with Goldberg. And, Danny, what was your comment? Danny?
Just the fact that 24 hours prior, he's trash-talking him.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, can I get a picture with you?
Yeah, he said, you wonder if he talked about
it. I almost imagine like Mark being semi-drunk, being like, dude, I loved you in WCW, and your WWE run was awesome.
The match with Lesnar was the best.
The match with Lesnar was the best.
There's so much material you have just given me now. I literally just can't get it out of my mouth fast enough. I was listening last week, and the only thing that was interesting that I didn't really see anybody mention was the fact of the reflection in the mirror in the police car at the end. Did anybody notice that?
Yeah, well, what was the reflection? I saw that, too, because it's like I didn't realize he was being arrested until the very end of the video. But what was
he wasn't being arrested. He was being escorted to Suplex City.
Oh, Suplex. Uh-oh.
That was what was written on the window. It was just reversed. Someone had actually tracked it down and reversed it, but it was actually on the window saying this way to Suplex City.
So is that what we're going to get at WrestleMania next year?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Well, it may happen. You know, I mean, why, you know, that's pretty, actually, I kind of dug that because, you know, I mean, I didn't hate the WWE version of the Bill Goldberg theme. It was okay, but when it started, you know, it just reminded me of, you know, it reminds me a lot of UFC because UFC does that for every show. Everybody coming out, it's got the walkout music and they've got the security surrounding them. And that's where they borrowed from. They borrowed from that for Goldberg and even Gilbert, you know, which I thought was pretty funny. But there's a couple characters who do actually have that kind of entrance still to this day, all borrowed from UFC. And, you know, I know it's just kind of exciting to see. I don't hate Bill Goldberg. I like him a lot. So it's like, you know, I just think that I'm glad he's back. But it's just we thought it was hilarious that this guy, if Bill Goldberg was listening to the show the day before and knew who he was, I can imagine that the picture might have been a little bit different, you know?
So instead of keyboard muscles, he's got microphone muscles. Is that what we're hearing?
We all got microphone muscles, you know? I mean, you know.
Because we get a great picture with Mark and the Jackhammer, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I wanted to talk to him about
Mark
what he
speared through a table that's like covered in like shrimp on ice or something.
I wanted to talk to him about what he talked to Bill about because that's what I'm more curious about. It's like, you know, he'd go, hey, Bill, we were talking about you on the show yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. So, but,
yeah, but the odds are he probably went totally fangirl. He probably became, you know, the persona of the Mark, just completely
marching
out, asking for selfies, and was just thank you, thank you, thank you, and then, you know, didn't probably breach any of those topics.
Listen, if I ever met Stephanie McMahon, you know I'd do the same thing. You know that. I would freaking
And I would turn you in the hope I would get bonus points. Like, don't believe it, Stephanie. He's always said you're kind of ugly. Not me, though. I think you're beautiful. We'll just see what happens. We'll hope for the best.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I heard someone's talking.
That wouldn't come
Vince
out of me.
Vince comes around the corner. So I hear you're in love with my daughter.
I want to see what the rest of you would do with Lana. Because you totally would go the exact same way with Lana or Eva Marie or whoever Rich is obsessed with.
No, you know what? I wouldn't, you know. I mean, listen, I respect them as professionals, and I have a show, and I can say things, and then I can easily turn my back on it.
He said the same thing about the sheriff before he took a selfie with him earlier
today. Yeah, the sheriff was in here last hour.
I respect you as a professional.
Yes, is this my get-out-of-free-car picture? Okay, but nevertheless, no, there's a lot of wrestlers I disliked as a kid growing up, like Dusty Rhodes, and we've had him on the show before, you know, a long time ago we had him on. It's like, this guy couldn't stand the whole time he wrestled. And it's like, but he, you know, because you know, we do the show, it's like he's a historic presence in this business. I had, you know, I interviewed him, and I never told him that I didn't like him or anything, you know.
Because how could you not like Dusty Rhodes?
Because I was a Flair fan, and I like the bad guys, so that's the way it goes, you know?
That is a good point.
Yeah. So, but I derailed your comment. Where were you going?
My thing was Baylor Nakamura, and I was saying Baylor for you, Rich.
Thank you.
More comfortable.
For Nick Magnus, you know, or whatever his name
was. The rumblings are starting. The pictures are showing up, so I'm not really, you know, breaking too much news, but the rumblings are starting about Baylor Nakamura in Brooklyn. And that'll be it. But it sounds like he'll be on the main roster before then. Do you agree?
Finn, yeah. I think
they both might be.
Everybody was saying goodbye to him at the end of the match this past week. So but they did that last time, too.
They always have the way they usually run it is the guy comes back and puts over someone else after dropping the title. So, I mean, Kevin Owens came back and put Finn back over after he dropped the title to him at Brooklyn, even though he'd been on WWTV for 3-4 months already. So I think we'll see during the draft he'll get called up, but that is going to be one hell of a match.
Scott, you know the interesting thing about the Brooklyn coming up, that night of matches, is that it's the same night that supposedly CM Punk is debuting for UFC.
Yeah, well, I'll be watching Balor versus Nakamura. I don't really want to pay money or go somewhere to watch him get knocked on his rear, because that's exactly what's going to happen.
You can watch both of them. The takeover should be over by 10, and that's when the main card starts, and that's also headlined by Conor McGregor, too, so it's going to draw buys regardless.
Yeah. And
McGregor's on that card?
Yeah, McGregor Diaz.
Yeah, it's 202, is it?
Yes. Yep.
So yeah. That's going to be a really fun night, then.
Yeah, yeah, and we get CM Punk.
And SummerSlam's going to be promoted all over UFC.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, yeah, because with this whole deal with Brock, what does that really, what is given and taken between the two companies, you know? And we'll find out as we get closer, but definitely Ronda was a part, I think she was part of that deal, so.
That'd be fun to have her back, because she did a good job at WrestleMania, and quite frankly, after she's done, which I don't think she's, I think she's maybe got 3 or 4 more fights left in her, I could easily see her either going to movies or coming to the WWE, so I think it's a good stepping point.
As long as their power levels are over 9,000 still.
Yes.
Yeah.
You could do both. WWE makes movies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look at Brock's working both, too. You know?
Marine 19, here we come.
All right. Anything else, Scott?
No, you guys have a good week.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the call.
Later.
222-1280, Star 12's number. We got to go to break. We got one more break to get out of the way. And we got calls on the line. Dan, hold on. We'll be back in just a minute. And we got some, you know, been a fun show so far.
We haven't even talked NXT from this past Wednesday.
I know. Yeah, I know. And NXT, we'll do that in the last segment. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
I'm offended by your skills. You embarrass yourself in the wrestling ring. Dude, your jokes are as outdated as my jorts.
Why don't I take a page out of Ali's playbook, shall we? See, you clearly have been floating like a butterfly. And I've shown you that I can, sting like a bee. So you can best believe that Money in the Bank, that United States Championship, is coming home with me.
Hey, you're listening to Sanjay Dutt, the original player from the Himalaya, and this is the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain from Bollywood, India, baby.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with Brian Burke, DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, the Double D's in Studio B, and the chauffeur. I'm here, Cashman. I'm here with Aaron, who's going to be taking over for me next week. So you guys are going to have to deal with a honky-tonk man next week. You guys excited about that?
Longest running Intercontinental Champion.
That's Love right. It. And you know where he won it? He won it in the Buffalo Odd. And that's what he's come town for, to promote, it's been 30 years almost since he won the belt. So, he'll be in town. He's got, actually, there's a big promotion sheet I have here. Let me read it real quick. Because he's doing something on the 17th, which is before the show. I'll read this verbatim, and hopefully it sounds right. The Honky Tonk Man will bring his one-man show to Milky's on Elmwood June 17th with special guest host Hornswoggle. Or is he called Swoggle now? Isn't it?
Swornhoggle.
Sworn Hoggle. Honky Tonk Man will also perform at the Palmer Opera House in Cuba on June 19th, and that's the one you'll be promoting when he's on here. He's bold, outspoken, and controversial. He's been called the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. He's a legendary Honky Tonk Man, and he's bringing his one-man act to Western New York for two big shows, June 17th and 19th. The Honky Tonk Man Shake, Rattle, and Roll one-man stage show comes to Milky's on Elmwood in Buffalo on June 17th with special guest host Swoggle, and to the Palmer Opera House in Cuba on June 19th. So with his long chopped sideburns and his black slick back hair, the Honky Tonk Man is one of the most recognizable and popular WWE legends ever. He has sold out arenas all over the world, facing off against the biggest and baddest stars in wrestling history. Honky Tonk Man's outspoken demeanor and bold opinions have made him one of the most controversial and captivating names in professional wrestling. And really, I just want to ask him some stuff about his feud he had with Roddy Piper. And really, him and Roddy Piper had a huge online feud. And really, I mean, it got bad. There was threats. I just want to know how he left it with Piper, you know, being Piper passed away about a year ago. So, but I won't be here to do that. So you guys are going to have to carry that for me, okay? So please note the Buffalo show is an adult show only, while the Cuba event will be a family-friendly edition. Go to theclawhole.com if you want to find out information, or palmeroperahouse.com. And we'll have the Honky Tonk Man on next week. So you guys, I hope you have a blast with him.
He's just the honky-tonk man.
Yeah, you have to find some music or something like that. But so we'll talk NXT in just 1 second. We got Dan from Rochester with us. Dan, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Not much. I'm recovering still from my heart surgery.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I hope you're okay, brother.
Yeah. Quick question. Well, first off, I wanted to give my thoughts and prayer to the Kimbo Slice family.
Yeah, Kimbo Slice passed away this past week. Muhammad Ali, Kimbo Slice, and now Gordie Howe. It's like some big names. Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Is there any kind of wrestling coming to Rochester anytime soon?
There's wrestling, I believe, today at the Pineapple Jacks, I believe. It's someone looked that up for me. We got a minute and a half, Dan, but we'll keep on listening, and man, feel better, dude. Man, we appreciate you calling. But before we get to that, we got about a minute. NXT, real quick. Thoughts on NXT? I mean, yes, there was a couple of great matches on there overall. You feel it was a pretty good show, Danger Boy?
It was a pretty decent show. I mean, they didn't have the greatest card going in. They had some really good matches. The tag match and the Shinsuke Aries match was really, really good. If the crowd was really chanting, "Who are you?" at Paul Ellering, I'm going to kick every single one of them.
Yes,
they're supposed to be huge marks, and they don't know who Paul Ellering is.
Paul Ellering, from the mind behind the Road Warriors, showed up at the end with a couple of guys, and they came out and they kicked some butt. It was a fun card. Danny, what you think?
That tag match was absolutely phenomenal. The quality of the wrestling and the storytelling in it, the drama in it, and then following that up with Shinsuke Nakamura and Austin Aries.
Definitely worth watching on the replay.
Yes.
If you can only watch two matches out of the five-match card, watch those two.
Very cool. Any updates on this wrestling today?
I don't see anything on the site. You see anything?
I'm looking. You put me in a pinch.
Sorry. I've seen the ads for it online. So check it out. Call Pineapple Jack. See what's going on today. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you guys for showing up, and enjoy the Honky Tonk Man next week. We are out of here. Body slam someone you love.
Hey, folks, Tom Park.
This is an actual recording taken by Ed and Lorraine Warren of 11-year-old Janet Hudson.
I'm not lawful. Oh, my name is Billy. Hello.
Today.
This is not just a haunting. There's a demonic presence in that house.
Experience the most documented case.
They're calling it England's Amityville. She needs our...